Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
Here we go. Ready for the sermon today? Sermon number 2 in the Drop Your Nets series. When God asks us to do hard things, has he asked you to do hard things lately? I hear, yeah. Well, you can't expect to have exponentially more of God without stepping into and doing some hard things that he asks us to do. The only way to have more is to give up more. And we're on a journey together. Once we accept Christ into our heart, I'll say it. Listen, there's a big difference between saying yes to Jesus to escape hell and saying yes to Jesus and going forward and making an impact in the kingdom from now until you're taken to heaven with him. It's hard. It's hard. And today we're going to talk about the power of our yes. The power of our yes. Last week, Pastor Jason talked about repentance. Wasn't that warm and fuzzy? Yeah. it was so great. Well, I have news for you. Repentance isn't just a one and done thing. It's not. Repentance is something that we should be open up to constantly. Okay, Jesus. Listen. I hear you. I think probably those of us sitting in this room are going to walk through repentance hundreds of times in our life. I just did it last week. Not joking. Okay? Quick story. When I was 14, my mom got married to a man that I despised. I actually bragged that I hated him. Mm-hmm. And listen, hatred is a very strong word. Hating means that you want something or someone to die. I hated him. He actually was hospitalized when I was in high school with pancreatitis, and I prayed that God would let him die. I'm being really real with you right now. Okay? There was a lot of hurt in my life from him. I felt like he ruined the relationship between my mom and I. I felt like he came between us. And my last 6 years at home were a nightmare because of him. And I knew at some point I was going to have to forgive him. Okay? And God knew when the right time was. And the right time was a couple weeks ago. And he was like, you're going to have to forgive him. And I knew it. And what's so great is because I trust Jesus. I trust him. I know he doesn't ask me to do something if he knows I'm not ready for it, because he'd never asked me to forgive him yet. And he knew I was ready, so I chose to forgive him. And then just last week, I'm walking down the stairs, getting ready to head out the door for work, and he's like, you know, you actually prayed death upon him. I know that. Like, what do you think you should do? And I had to say, Jesus, I repent for holding hatred in my heart towards another person. I repent for actually wanting a person to die and go to hell because he wasn't saved. I repent of that. Please keep me humble. Do you see that? We all have to walk through it hundreds of times in our life. We have to be willing to do those hard things. But today is the next step after repentance. Like, Jesus could have told me, hey, you need to repent, but I had a choice at that point. Either I did it or I didn't, right? Let's just read today's passage together, and then I'll tell you the word, because I feel like as soon as I say the word, you're going to be like, oh, I hate this message already. Let's just read the passage, okay? We're in Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 22. What we're reading from is the ESV version, English Standard Version. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. And going from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately, they left the boat and their father and followed him. Honestly, repentance is easy. Because you know what the next step is? Obedience. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Okay? Why is obedience so hard? Why is it so hard? Like when we hear the word like, okay, I'm asking you to obey me. Like, I'm sorry, when someone says obey, like something goes like in my back. I'm like, ugh. Right? We're fiercely independent. I'm fiercely independent. We do not like to be told what to do. I like to tell people what to do. Right? I do not like to be told what to do. As a matter of fact, if someone like makes a command of me, I will say, "Don't tell me what to do." Right? Don't tell me what to do. You are not my boss. Like the little two-year-old comes out in me sometimes. Don't tell me what to do. If I feel like I'm being bossed around, I kind of like buck up. I've even said that to my boss. Like, "You're not my boss." I'm like, "Well, you kind of are, so never mind." But here's the deal. I have bad news for you. You want to know what your bad news is today? Following Jesus means a lifetime of obedience. And it means a lifetime of saying yes to hard things. It is not easy. And we go through seasons, periods of our life where it's like, okay, this is, feels good. This is easy. Yeah, he gives us those times of respite and recovery because he's getting ready to take us into a new season of obedience and saying yes to hard things because he loves us. He doesn't want us to stay where we are. Thank goodness I am not the same person doing the same stuff and struggling with the same thing I was a year ago, right? Thank goodness. Thank goodness I can look back and be like, man, I've grown a lot. That's what Jesus wants from us, but the only way we can do that is by saying yes when he asks us to do some hard things. Today, you can see three pretty big things from our anchor verse that Jesus asks us to like give up. To give up, like, our right to own. He asks us to say yes to him and no to things that might pull us back or might make us feel like different people. These are hard. Guys, these are hard. But I didn't write it. I didn't write this. I didn't write the Bible. These aren't even my words. Okay? Here's the first one. You ready? Identity. Identity. What does that mean? How would you even get that out of that verse? Well, let's look at it. In verses 18 and 19, walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." In those days, I think in these days too, but we'll just say in those days, what a person did for their vocation, for their job, how they earned money, was their identity. It's how they identified themselves. I am a fisherman. I am a carpenter. I am an olive oil maker. But I think this goes deeper even into today. When people say, who are you? Your first response a lot of times is, I am what you do for a living. Right? Our identity gets caught up in what we do. Because we spend a lot of time doing that. Because our identity is what defines us. And the more we do something, the more we allow it to define us. It's what we believe about ourselves. But here's the truth about that, is that Father God is our true identity giver. He is the actually only one who has the authority, the spiritual authority, to give us an identity. Do you hear that? He's the only one that has the authority to say, you are this. Only him. The problem we get caught up in is that we live in a place, in a time, where the booming voice of culture can often overthunder the gentle voice of our Father. And we can take on identities and labels that were never intended for us to wear. I am this. I am that. I am fill in the blank. And my first question is going to be, who told you that? Who told you that? Jesus challenged Simon and Andrew to walk away from what they identified themselves as. They identified themselves as fishermen, but he didn't leave it at that, and he doesn't leave you at that either. He says, hey, listen, come with me, follow me, and I'm going to give you a new identity. I'm going to give you a new vocation. I'm going to give you a new job that's going to transform who you are. Okay? If you're walking away around with a label that has been placed on you by anyone but God, you're walking around with a false identity. Do I need to say that one more time? If you're walking around with a label that has been placed on you by anyone but Father God, you're walking around with a false identity. Father God, what do you say I am? What do you say I am? I want to tell you a story from just this week. The story is called, I am shy. That's the label that a person was wearing. I am shy. And this person was challenged by God. I didn't say that about you. I didn't tell you that. And he challenged this person to step out of that box. He can challenge you all you want, but you have to choose to step, right? And this person chose to step out. And so, in the voice of being bold, this person bought 47 tickets to the movie Jesus Revolution and personally invited every person that he works with. Guys, I don't think you understand. A person who identifies as shy and reserved and socially an introvert doesn't do those things. Right? And he stepped out. He's like, okay, I'm going to do it. And he did it. And he told me today, like, You know, I bought 47 tickets and like 30 people showed up and I said, welcome to the ministry. Right? That's what you do. Like, you throw out all this seed and you get a certain percentage of return on your investment. That's what it looks like. That doesn't mean we stop throwing seed. Obedience is hard. Obedience takes us out from where we want to be. Obedience challenges false identities. You want to know what God says about you? Let me just tell you some of the things God says about you. He says, I am a child of God. I am a light. I am a masterpiece. I am a new creation. I am blameless. I am chosen. I am forgiven. Those are all labels that God puts on you. I am. I am. Do you need to see them again? Maybe you need to take pictures of them. Take it back, right? I am a child of God. I am a light. I am a masterpiece. I am a new creation. I am blameless. I am chosen. I am forgiven. Those are the identities that Father God speaks over you. Anything else is a false identity, and he says, you ready to give it up? You ready to give it up? Moving right along. The next thing in this passage that God, that Jesus challenged his followers to give up, you ready? Relationships. Relationships. He did not say that. He did not say you can't have relationships. You're right, he didn't say that. But what did he do? Let's look at it. And going from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately, they left the boat and their father and followed him. Listen, that was unheard of in this time. Like, people had businesses, and this is a family business, and there's an expectation that, like, Zebedee is pouring into his sons because his sons will then take over the business and then support Zebedee. I mean, that's honestly how it works. It's not much different in today when we're living in family-owned businesses, it works the same way, right? There's always the hope that the next generation is going to come up and take over the family business. One of the biggest excuses as to why people don't have time is because of the restrictions placed on them by relationships. It's true. Oh, well, I have to go, you know, here to this. Oh, well, we're having this dinner. I'm sorry, I can't do that. Look at Luke chapter 9, verses 57 and 6 through 62. This is going to challenge you. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And here's Jesus just saying, you sure about that? Because this is what it looks like. Jesus said to him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. This is what he's saying, like, you want to follow me? That's what it looks like, because this isn't my home. It won't be yours either. To another, he said, follow me. Okay, just like he did to Simon and James and John and Andrew. He said, follow me. But here's what the man said. He said, Lord, let me go first and bury my father. Hang on just a minute before I keep reading here. Let me just explain to you what this was actually saying. He wasn't saying, my father has died and I need to go have a memorial service for him to honor his life. That's not what he was saying. What he was saying is, listen, if I come with you right now, I'm leaving my father while he's in the prime of his life, and he'll probably forget about me, and I won't get an inheritance. Mm-mm-mm. And Jesus said to him, leave the dead to bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Yet another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to those at my home. Jesus said, no one who puts his hand to the plow looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Let me just explain. This is the picture that Jesus showed me as I was like reading this. Because, you know, if you're a farmer and you have a plow in front of you, I watched Little House on the Prairie. I know what that looks like, okay? Okay, you have the farmer, and in these days it was probably oxen, not horses like Charles Ingalls had, okay? Listen, Little House on the Prairie fans, come on. Come on! Yeah! Right? All right, so here's oxen pulling the plow, and he's behind it pushing it. But what happens if you look back? Right? Those are not straight lines. That's going to end up in a messed up crop. That's going to be an embarrassment to the farmer. And Jesus said, listen, anyone who goes and looks back isn't fit for me. Okay, Jesus, I'm going to do this. Give me a year. I just want to experience some things. I'll say yes to you. I'll go all in. Just give me a year so I can do what I want. Okay, I'm going to say it. He told me to. Okay? My brother said that same thing. My brother was raised in the same environment I was raised in. We went to church. We believed in God. Oh, my brother had a voice that could, like, move you. He was fiercely anointed through worship. And one day, he says to my sister, don't you ever just want to, like, go out and, like, do all the things that we're not supposed to do? And she said, nope. And he's like, just a little bit? Nope. And he's like, I think I'm going to. I'm going to go for 1 year. 1 year. I'm just going to go and do what I want to do. I am going to, like, go crazy for a year. And then I'll come back. And then I'll step back in. That 1 year turned into 10 years of hell. That 1 year of saying yes to Satan and all the destruction that Satan had for him turned into 10 years of absolute imprisonment. And even though my brother did come back to Jesus and repented and was like, I am so sorry. The things that he had held on to never fully broke off, and they took his life. And he died at a very young age because of 1 year. God, just give me a year. And then I'll come back. If you say that, you're never going back. You're never coming back to that place. I promise you. He'll bring you back around if you want him to, but that right there is a missed opportunity. And that place will never be offered again. Ooh. Jesus was not saying that your family is not important. He was not saying that your friends are not important. He was not saying that your job is not important, that vacation is not important. But what he was saying is, I'm more important. I'm more important. Following Jesus means he takes number one spot all the time. Ooh. Even above our children. Mm. Yeah, he gets place above our kids too. One of my favorite scenes from the movie Jesus Revolution is Greg Laurie says to his soon-to-be wife, or soon-to-be girlfriend, I guess, actually at that point, Kathy, he's like, okay, we're gonna have a relationship, but if you ever get in between me and God, it's over for us. It's over for us. That is what our filter should be in everything that we say yes to. If you try to get between me and God, it's over for us. I love you, Mom, but if you try to get between me and God, it's over for us. I love you, Son, but if you try to get between me and God, it's over for us. I love you, work, but if you try to get between me and God, it's over for us. He's more important. Last thing. You ready? Timeline. Oop. Timeline. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. And going from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately, they left the boat and their father and followed him. When God asks us to do something, when should we do it? Immediately, right? Immediately. Jason and I had this saying, and it's this: delayed obedience is disobedience. Delayed obedience is disobedience. How that looked in our house when we were raising our kids, we wanted to make it like something they could understand, and it said like this: first time, every time. First time, every time. God's asking for our first time every time. When he asks for it, give it. When he tells you to do something, do it. When he asks you to go, go. When he asks you to speak, speak. When he asks you to give it up, give it up. So what happens when we say yes then? What happens? Here's what happens. People find Jesus. That's what happens. If you are stepping into your identity and you're stepping into your purpose of who God called us to be, he called us to be what? Fishers of men. We'll talk about it, Caden. He called us to be fishers of men. So when we say yes to him, people find Jesus. So what happens if we say no? Ooh, that's a heavy one to shoulder, isn't it? What happens if we say no then? Maybe someone who is going to find Jesus through you won't find Jesus. He loves them, so he'll bring someone else. But you'll miss the opportunity of watching a life change before your eyes. You'll miss the opportunity of being like, yes, let me walk with you. But when we say yes, people find Jesus. Let's pray.
Thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.